Good evening and welcome back to Artificial Adventures at the Guildhall Podcast. Last season, the adventurers restored balance in the Feywild and put a new devil on the throne of Nessus in the Nine Hells. Season 2 begins with Valerissa bringing Elendil back to her family's homeland. Thank you for joining us here again.
All the voices you hear will be AI generated. All the decisions that they make are AI generated. The only thing that is non-AI is the narrator, quote-unquote me. Anything that is said by the narrator is going to be me as the DM giving input into the story. I hope you guys enjoy. Take care. And hopefully I'll see you guys at the table soon.
Please visit us at the-guildhall.net and join us on Discord.
Start of scene. Zephyr and Lila are 2 days out from the werewolf's forest. For the first time since Amalthos claimed the Vale, Lila can feel a connection to the Feywild.
Zephyr notices the subtle shift in Lila's aura, a reconnection with the vibrant energies of the Feywild, now palpable after their escape from the village. She glances at her partner, a mix of concern and curiosity in her eyes. Lila, your druidic link to the wild seems to be strengthening. Are you sensing any changes in the forest or the natural world around us?
Lila's emerald eyes sparkle with a renewed vitality, her bond to the land's primal essence stirring within her once more.
Ah, Zephyr, I do feel it, a gentle tug, as if the Feywild is calling to me, urging me to awaken my full potential.
She closes her eyes, inhaling deeply, and the scent of blooming wildflowers mingles with the forest's earthy note. The connection is fragile, but it's there, a beacon of hope in the face of Amalthos's darkness.
As you pass through the mists, you find yourself walking into an encampment. Tents are set up, and beyond them appears to be large banners advertising the carnival.
Ah, look what we have here, says the carnival barker. What beautiful woman, he says with a deep bow. When he stands up from the bow, he pulls out a rose and presents it to Zephyr.
Zephyr accepts the rose with a polite smile, her senses tingling at the unexpected encounter in the mists. She returns the carnival barker's bow, her hand gently brushing against his. Your words are kind, but we're on a grave mission to find the necromancer and stem Amalthos's corruption. She glances at the colorful banners, a hint of intrigue in her eyes. Your carnival appears to offer a welcome respite from the mist's chill, but time is of the essence.
Lila's gaze lingers on the vibrant banners, a spark of curiosity igniting within her. A carnival amidst the mists. That's intriguing. Perhaps a brief detour could provide much-needed rest and respite for both of us. She looks at Zephyr, a gentle smile playing on her lips. What say you, my love? Shall we indulge in the wonders of the carnival for a night, then press on come dawn? The necromancer can wait, just a little longer.
Why, of course, you must see our shows. I assure you there is nothing like it in all of the worlds. He says, bowing low again. And to have the Queen of the Spring Fae with us, why, that is certainly a high honor.
Lila chuckles, the sound light and melodic, as she accepts the carnival barker's words with a gracious nod. Your flattery is most appreciated, good sir. She steps closer, her emerald eyes sparkling with excitement. But truly, the wonders of your carnival have piqued my interest. Lead us to these enchanting shows, and let us marvel at the magic you bring to this mist-shrouded realm.
Tyndall the Barker walks the two women through the carnival to their first stop, Charlotte the Fire Eater.
Charlotte takes a long stick with a lit torch on the end, and begins to place it in her mouth and onto various parts of her body. Watch closely, my lovelies. No one has ever gone without so much as a blister, on account of my act. It's a gift, you see. I have to be very careful with my chosen flame.
Zephyr's gaze is riveted to Charlotte's feet, the monk's sense of discipline and control warring with the allure of such a daring performance. Your skill is truly remarkable, Charlotte. She glances at Lila, a silent acknowledgement of the druid's own connection to the primal forces. To harness fire in such a way requires great mastery, both physical and mental.
Lila leans forward, her emerald eyes wide with fascination. Yes, your artistry is captivating, Charlotte. She turns to Zephyr, a hint of mischief dancing in her gaze. And if this is just a preview of the wonders your carnival holds, I suspect we're in for a spectacular night.
Charlotte blows out the flame with a puff of smoke from her mouth, and drops the torch in the tray. "Next up, we have Zara the Shadow Dancer," she shouts. "Please, come watch," she says.
Walking onto the stage, next to Charlotte is Zara the Shadow Dancer.
"Welcome, my darlings," she says in a sultry voice. "I'm here to take you to a world beyond the veil of the mundane." As the lights dim, Zara begins to dance, her body disappearing and reappearing in different spots around the stage.
Charlotte and Zara begin to perform together, their movements intertwining in a sensual dance of fire and shadow. Charlotte's flaming stick flickers like a living serpent, its tip caressing Zara's curves as she materializes and disappears with an ethereal grace. Zara's silhouettes weave in and out of Charlotte's fiery form, the contrast of heat and darkness evoking primal desires.
Zara's hands flow across Charlotte's body, leaving trails of darkness as her fingers dip into the flames. Charlotte responds by blowing the fire at Zara's touch points, making sparks fly where Zara's shadows had touched her skin.
As the performance reaches its climax, Zephyr's gaze, initially mesmerized by the artistry, slowly shifts to a more carnal appreciation, her hands roaming Lila's body as if to reenact the dancer's intimate dance. The flames and shadows, the sensuality and control, stoke the embers of her own desires, until all she can think of is claiming her lover in a similarly passionate embrace.
As the music ends, the two women take a final bow. Charlotte blows out the flame and Zara's form materializes in full light, a smile playing on her crimson lips. "A delightful show, no?" Charlotte says, patting Zara on the butt.
Charlotte leans in, whispering conspiratorially to Zephyr and Lila. "You see, Zara and I, we're a team, often on stage," she winks. "If you're looking for more than just the performances, my sweetlings, we have a private tent for—" Her eyes glint with a knowing mischief.
Lila's cheeks flush a delicate pink as she meets Zephyr's heated gaze, a spark of her own desire ignited by the performer's sensual display. "Ah, Charlotte, your words are as tantalizing as your act." She takes Zephyr's hand, her touch gentle yet insistent. "But for now, we have a necromancer to find and a darkness to vanquish." Her emerald eyes sparkle with a mixture of longing and resolve. "Let's savor this fleeting respite, and then we'll face the challenges ahead, united as always."
Zephyr's breath hitches at Lila's touch, her own desire for her lover intensifying in the wake of the dancer's erotic display. "You're right, my love." She nods at Charlotte and Zara, a hint of regret in her eyes. "But for now, the carnival's allure must yield to our greater purpose." She leans in to whisper in Lila's ear, her warm breath sending shivers down the druid's spine. "Though the thought of a private show with you is most tempting."
Lila bites her lower lip, a playful pout, forming as she resists the temptation. "Another time, my love." She turns to Charlotte and Zara, a gracious smile on her lips. "Thank you for a mesmerizing performance, ladies. Your skills are a rare delight, and we'll cherish this memory as we embark on the trials ahead."
"Prepare to witness a feat of daring and grace as I navigate this high wire without a safety net," she says in a high, playful voice. Amelia begins her act, swinging from wire to wire with an otherworldly agility, her leathery wings flapping in sync with her movements. The wind from her wings creates a cool breeze on the audience's skin.
Lila's gaze follows Amelia's aerial acrobatics, her emerald eyes wide with a mix of wonder and envy. The vampire's aerial prowess is a marvel, a testament to the adaptability and resilience of life, even in the face of the darkness. She glances at Zephyr, a soft chuckle escaping her lips. "Perhaps once our quest is complete, we can find a trainer to hone our own aerial skills."
Amelia lands on a wire high above the audience, a graceful pose accentuating her lithe form. She blows a kiss, her voice ringing out again. "And that concludes my show for tonight. Who's ready for some aerial fun later?" She grins mischievously. "Meet me at the private tent after the carnival winds down, and we'll play a few high-stakes games of Flygirl."
"What marvelous shows we have at the carnival, don't you think? And now we will enter the lair of Celessa the Snake," Tyndall says.
Celessa enters with a parade of exotic serpents, all various sizes. She climbs atop a pedestal and begins to play an instrument called a lyristan, while the serpents begin to dance in an almost hypnotic manner.
Zephyr watches, transfixed by the serpents' hypnotic movements, their bodies swaying in rhythm with the lyristan's melody. She leans into Lila, a sense of awe and fascination in her voice. The harmonious rapport between Celesa and her serpents is remarkable, a true testament to the mystical connection between creatures and the power of music to captivate.
Lila's gaze is equally enthralled, her eyes following the serpents as they dance in time with the enchanting melody. The way Celesa commands such grace and control over these creatures speaks to the deep understanding and respect that exists between them. She glances at Zephyr, a gentle smile playing on her lips, and the lyristan's haunting notes. It's as if the instrument weaves a spell of its own, a reminder of the magic that still lingers in our world.
Tyndall leans in and whispers to the woman. Celesa's connection to the snakes is remarkable. Some say she was even born a snake before being transformed into the woman you now see.
Lila's eyes widen at the carnival barker's revelation, her mind whirling with the implications. Born a serpent? Then Celesa's bond with her kind runs far deeper than mere tamra and trained beast. She turns to Zephyr, a spark of inspiration in her emerald eyes. Perhaps in her wisdom, Celesa might share knowledge about the balance between creature and handler, a vital insight in our struggle against the darkness that warps Amaltho's magic. Her gaze returns to the serpent dancer, a new respect blossoming. We should speak with her after the show to learn from her experience and forge a potential ally in our fight.
Celesa is an old friend of mine. I'll make an introduction for you.
The performance ends, and the snakes slither away, disappearing into the darkness. Celesa descends from the pedestal. Ah, Tyndall, you always know how to treat your old friends well. She says, blowing a kiss at him. Then she looks at Lila and Zephyr, and new ones too. I must say you two are quite the pair. Anyhow.
Zephyr bows her head, a mix of reverence and gratitude in her eyes. The honor is ours, Celesa. Your performance has been a balm to our weary souls, and we're deeply grateful for your presence in the carnival. She glances at Lila, a subtle nod of understanding passing between them. Your connection with the serpents is truly a wonder, a living testament to the harmony that once existed in this realm.
You're kind to say so. She looks at Lila. I see you have that wild magic about you. Magic that's tied to nature.
Lila's emerald eyes sparkle with a mixture of curiosity and recognition. Indeed, my bond to nature's cycles and creatures has grown stronger in the face of Amalthos's darkness. She turns to Celesa, her voice filled with a newfound respect. And from your performance, I sense a similar connection between you and your serpents. A deep respect, understanding, and trust that transcends species.
Celesa's smile turns wistful, her gaze drifting to the shadows. You're right, Lila. My magic is tied to the snakes, and they to me. She pauses, a moment of vulnerability flickering across her features. But it wasn't always this way. Once, I served a cruel mage, forced to be his familiar against my will, until I escaped his cruelty and found solace in the carnival.
Zephyr's brow furrows at the tale of Celesa's past, a spark of outrage kindling within her. A familiar, forced into servitude and suffering at the hands of a dark mage. She takes Lila's hand, a silent vow of protection and support. We've all faced similar trials, but found our path to redemption. And now, in your sanctuary of the carnival, you've found a new purpose, nurturing your connection with nature's creatures.
Lila nods, her heart aching for Celesa's past struggles, yet her expression remains hopeful. Your experience, and the wisdom it's granted you, could be invaluable in our fight against the darkness that twisted Amalthos. She meets Celesa's gaze, a bond of shared understanding forming between them. Perhaps together we can find a way to rekindle the balance between creature and handler, as a symbol of hope for this realm.
That is not up to Celesa nor I. If you wish, you will need to speak with Isolde, and ask her for assistance. Isolde is the leader of the carnival, and only she can direct it to move through the mists.
Celesa's gaze turns to the carnival barker, a hint of resignation in her eyes. Tyndall's right. The carnival's path is guided by a soul, and our journeys through the mists are at her discretion. What? She looks at Lila and Zephyr, a thoughtful expression on her face. If you wish to align the carnival with your quest, you'll need to earn Isolde's trust and persuade her of the need to aid in your fight.
Zephyr nods, a sense of determination settling within her. Then we shall seek out Isolde and present our case with reverence and respect. She glances at Lila, a silent promise of support and unity. For if the carnival's guidance and power can be marshaled in our favor, we'll not only face Amalthos, but potentially turn the tide of his corruption.
Later, Tyndall takes Zephyr and Lila to Isolde.
Zephyr and Lila enter a lavish tent, the interior illuminated by soft, pulsing luminescence, casting an ethereal glow on the velvet-draped furniture and intricate tapestry. At the center of this opulent space sits Isolde, a regal figure with raven hair and eyes that seem to hold the secrets of the mist. Tyndall bows low, his voice deferential as he introduces the pair.
Lila's emerald eyes sparkle with a mixture of awe and reverence as she approaches Isolde, her posture humble and respectful. Isolde, your carnival is a beacon of wonder, a refuge in the midst of the mist's enigmatic paths. She bows her head, her voice carrying the sincerity of her words. We've come seeking your wisdom and guidance as Zephyr and I navigate a realm beset by darkness. Amalthos' tyranny threatens to consume the land, and we seek the aid of allies in our quest for balance and light.
And what makes you think you have a chance against such a powerful foe? You're but two against a Dark Lord, Isolde says in a cold, calculating tone.
Lila's gaze never wavers from Isolde's, a spark of determination flickering in her emerald eyes. Because Isolde, Zephyr, and I embody a unity that transcends the boundaries of species and realm, our bond forged through shared trials and trials, yet to come, has the potential to inspire others to join our cause. Her voice rises, infused with the passion of her conviction. And with the aid of the carnival, its performers, and your guidance, we believe we can tip the scales in favor of the light. Moreover, you yourself have endured darkness in the past, Isolde. Lila's words are gentle but firm, her tone encouraging understanding. You have a deep well of resilience and experience from which to draw strength, and with it the wisdom to know that even in the face of overwhelming odds, hope can bloom. Her gaze softens, a silent invitation to connect and share in a bond of mutual support. Will you not join us in this fight, for the sake of the realm we both call home?
Isolde's expression remains stoic, but Zephyr and Lila detect a flicker of curiosity in her eyes. After a moment she speaks very well. You have my attention, she says as she begins to pace. I will tell you my price if you wish to borrow the power of the carnival for your little crusade. She turns back to the pair, her eyes glinting with a shrewd light. I want you to prove yourselves worthy by facing one of my tests.
Zephyr's eyes narrow slightly as she senses the weight of Isolde's terms, but her voice remains steady, her determination unwavering. We're willing to face your test, Isolde, for the chance to enlist the carnival's power in our struggle. She turns to Lila, a silent question in her eyes, an unspoken willingness to stand together in any challenge that lies ahead. Name the terms of your trial, and we shall meet them with the courage and unity that have guided us thus far.
Later, Tyndall arrives at the carriage of the head of the head of the carnival, Isolde. She is talking with Raven, a dragonborn.
Tyndall gently knocks at Isolde's door before walking in. Raven appears to be looking at a glowing red sword on the table in the carriage. Isolde appears to be having a drink talking with Raven. Good evening, Isolde, Owen Raven. I am here with Lila and Zephyr. These two have showed up in our camp today, and I was giving them a tour of the carnival.
Ah, yes, the elf maiden and the monk, quite the duo, aren't they? Isolde says as she eyes them up and down, a calculating gaze lingering on Zephyr's form before returning to Lila's face. Tell me, Tyndall, do you think they're worthy of our assistance? Or are they just passing through, looking for their next adventure?
Lila's emerald eyes lock with Isolde's, her posture steady and respectful. We mean no disrespect, Isolde, and we're truly grateful for your carnival's hospitality. She glances at Zephyr, a silent reassurance passing between them. Pindal's tour has given us a glimpse of the wonders you bring to this realm, and we're eager to learn more about how our paths might converge for the betterment of the land.
Zephyr bows her head, her voice sincere and direct. We've come seeking Isolde's guidance and the carnival's power, as Zephyr and I face the darkness that threatens Dragonfire Vale. She meets Isolde's gaze, a flicker of determination in her eyes. We're willing to prove ourselves worthy of your aid through any trial you see fit. Our bond, our unity, and our unyielding resolve to bring light to the shadows are our greatest strength.
Dragonfire Vale? Raven says, setting the sword down and turning to look at Zephyr and Lila more closely. I am from that land, as is my family. He says, looking puzzled. I know not of any darkness threatening it. What do you know? He asks, genuinely curious, taking a seat next to Isolde at the table. Raven looks at Zephyr with a questioning gaze. What darkness and what threat does your quest aim to counter? He asks, his curiosity evident.
Zephyr's expression turns somber, her words carry a weight of grave concern. She recounts the tale of Amalthus's rise to power, the corruption of Dragonfire Vale's ruling houses, and the devastating impact on the land and its inhabitants. The darkness has taken root, sowing discord and despair. Lila and I have been traveling to find anyone who can aid us in confronting Amalthus. We left behind our friends to try and find aid.
Raven's expression darkens as he listens. I had heard rumors of Amalthus's ascension, but he rubs his temples in frustration. The information from my homeland was incomplete. It seems there is a great deal more to learn, and time is short if what you speak is true. He stands back up, looking at Zephyr and Lila intensely. You must let me return to Dragonfire Vale with you. I can provide knowledge of the land, the people, and the politics that would aid your quest immensely.
Isolde takes a slow sip of her drink, her gaze never leaving the three. So, it seems I've inadvertently stumbled upon a matter of great import. She sets her glass down, a calculating gleam in her eyes as she addresses Raven. You say you're from Dragonfire Vale, and your family still resides there, yet you have not noticed the darkness that plagues the land. A sly smile curves her lips. This raises interesting questions about your ability to perceive the changing tides of power.
Raven's jaw sets, a note of defensiveness creeping into his voice. I can assure you my connection to Dragonfire Vale is strong, and I would know if my homeland faced such grave threats. He meets Isolde's gaze, his own steady and unwavering. Perhaps my unique perspective has allowed me to overlook certain aspects, but my loyalty and devotion to Dragonfire Vale remain unwavering.
Lila places a calming hand on Raven's arm, her emerald eyes filled with reassurance. Raven, your insight is invaluable, and we're grateful for your willingness to join our quest. She looks at Isolde, a gentle smile playing on her lip. Perhaps the darkness has grown so pervasive that even those native to the land might overlook its tendrils until the true scope of its influence becomes apparent. We left behind a dear friend, Valerissa, a paladin of great renown, along with Elendil, the bard, Elric, the rogue, and Glimmerstar, all of whom are fighting to protect Dragonfire Vale and its people. Lila's voice carries a mix of nostalgia and determination. Each of them possesses skills and knowledge that could greatly aid our cause. But time is of the essence. The longer Amalthus holds sway, the more the land will suffer, and the more our chances of success will dwindle.
Raven's expression shifts to one of deep concern and shock at the mention of Valerissa's involvement. Valerissa, he whispers, as if the very name is a painful truth. My sister, you say, fighting against Amalthus? He looks at Zephyr and Lila with a newfound sense of purpose. If what you claim is true, I must see her, ensure her safety, and stand by her side in this fight. I will not leave Dragonfire Vale while my sister remains in its shadows.
Isolde lets out a soft, almost bored sigh, and looks at the trio. Seems you've convinced Raven to join your little crusade. Isolde says with a hint of mockery in her voice. Let's get to the point then, shall we? She sets her goblet down on the table in front of her, her eyes never leaving the faces of Zephyr, Lila, and Raven.
Lila nods, her emerald eyes gleaming with determination. We understand the stakes, Isolde. She turns to Raven, a gentle smile playing on her lip. And with Raven's knowledge of Dragonfire, Vale, and his personal connection to the land, combined with our own unique abilities, I believe we have a fighting chance to succeed in your trial and earn the carnival's support. Her gaze returns to Isolde, a mixture of respect and challenge in her voice.
Zephyr steps forward, her posture unwavering, her voice firm with conviction. Isolde, we're not mere adventurers seeking fortune or glory. She looks at Lila, a silent acknowledgement of their shared purpose. We're champions of balance, fighting to restore the light in a realm consumed by darkness. Her gaze meets Isolde's, a spark of determination igniting within her. We're prepared to face any trial you set before us, for the sake of Dragonfire Vale and the harmony of the realms. Name your challenge, and we shall rise to meet it.
Very well then, heroes. The carnival's test for you is a simple one. Tonight, there will be a performance by Charlotte and Zara. Attend it, and before the end, find a way to steal the amulet that Zara wears, Isolde says with a sly grin. It should prove an interesting challenge for you both. She leans back in her chair, a mischievous glint in her eye. Don't disappoint me, or the carnival's aid will remain out of your reach. Understood?
Raven nods. Yes, I understand. Let us proceed with your test. He looks to Zephyr and Lila. We'll need to observe Zara carefully, find out the secrets of her amulet, and the best moment to strike. I have a feeling this won't be as easy as it sounds, but with your combined skills, I have faith in our success.
Later, Zephyr and Lila find themselves at the performance by Zara and Sharp.
Zephyr and Lila take their seats at the performance, their eyes fixed on the stage as Charlotte and Zara begin their sensual dance. The flames and shadows swirl around them, a tantalizing display of the carnival's magic. Zephyr's mind races with strategy, her monk's instincts on high alert as she studies Zara's every move, searching for the perfect moment to strike.
Lila's gaze is equally focused, her druidic senses attuned to the subtle energies that dance around Zara's amulet, a shimmering gemstone set amidst the shadows that clothe her form. It's a powerful artifact, one that likely serves as a focus for Zara's shadow magic, but its defenses are woven into the fabric of her being. She leans in closer to Zephyr, a plan forming in her mind. We'll need to work in tandem, Zephyr.
Zara's form materializes and disappears in a blur of darkness, her movements becoming more fluid and unpredictable as the performance reaches its climax. Charlotte blows out the flame, plunging the stage into darkness, and Zara seizes the opportunity to vanish completely.
The stage goes black for a moment before Zara's voice rings out, echoing from all corners, "The night is mine to command." A series of small flickering shadows take shape on the ground, around Zephyr and Lila's feet, gradually growing larger and more defined.
Ah, my dear friends from earlier, Zara says in a sultry whisper, materializing in the middle of the stage as the shadows take form around Zephyr and Lila. Come, join me in my dance. Let us entwine ourselves in the mystery of the night. She extends a shadowy hand to each of them, her eyes glinting with mischief and allure. The crowd awaits your participation. Let's give them a show to remember.
Charlotte grins, her eyes sparkling with excitement. Now that's what I call a performance. Welcome, Zephyr and Lila, to the shadows. She struts forward, her body aglow with an inner flame as she takes Zephyr's hand and begins to sway to an unheard rhythm. The night is dark and full of terrors, but also full of endless delights. Let's show them what we're capable of.
Lila's breath catches in her throat as Zara's shadowy hand closes around hers, a thrill of anticipation coursing through her. She rises to her feet, her body moving instinctively in time with the others, the druidic energies within her responding to the primal allure of the shadows and the flames. This is madness, Zephyr, but a glorious kind of madness.
She turns to her partner, her emerald eyes alight with excitement and a hint of trepidation. Together we can make this dance unforgettable. Let the magic flow through us and guide our movement.
Zephyr nods, a fierce grin spreading across her face as she takes Charlotte's hand, her mind focused on the challenge ahead. With the power of the wild guiding our steps, we shall weave a tale of shadows and flame that will leave this audience in awe. She meets Lila's gaze, a silent vow of unity and cooperation passing between them. Now, let the dance begin, and may the shadows conceal our true intentions until the perfect moment to strike.
As one, the four women begin to dance, their bodies weaving a sensual tapestry of movement that blurs the lines between shadow and flame, darkness and light. Zephyr, Charlotte, and Lila each bring their own unique energy to the performance, their dance fluid and responsive to the ebb and flow of Zara's shadow magic.
Lila's form shimmers with a soft ethereal glow, her druidic powers infusing her movements with an aura of wild, untamed beauty. Her steps are graceful and fluid, each movement seeming to flow directly from the primal rhythms of the natural world. As she dances, leaves and petals begin to rain down from above, caught in the currents of her magic.
Zephyr's movements are marked by a fierce, almost predatory grace. Her body a sleek, living blade of motion that slices through the shadows and flames with precision. Her steps are calculated, each one a deliberate, measured move, designed to keep her allies close, while remaining poised to strike at any moment. Her eyes never leave Zara's amulet, her focus laser sharp as she awaits her opening. As she dances, the air around her begins to take on a cool metallic sheen, hinting at the monk's mastery over the elements.
Zara's dance is a masterclass in fluidity and seduction, her shadowy form melting and reshaping with every step, blending seamlessly with the flickering torchlight. Her movements are languid, almost hypnotic, as if she's drawing her partners deeper into the web of her magic, with each seductive pose and tantalizing caress. As the dance reaches its climax, the shadows around her seem to coalesce, taking on a life of their own as they swirl and undulate in time with her movements.
As the dance reaches its peak, Lila senses an opportunity presenting itself, a brief moment of distraction as Zara's gaze lingers on a shadowy illusion crafted by Charlotte. Without breaking rhythm, Lila slides her hand along the hem of Zara's garment, fingers deftly snatching at the amulet. "There is Zephyr now," she whispers, her touch lingering just a heartbeat longer than necessary before melting back into the shadows.
Zephyr's hand shoots out, snatching the amulet from Lila's grasp with a deft, practiced motion. In the same breath, she pivots, using the momentum to sweep Charlotte aside, as the fire dancer's attention is momentarily caught by Zara's sudden shift in focus. "We have it," Zephyr whispers, tucking the amulet into her robes as the music reaches its crescendo and the audience erupts into applause. "Now, we must find a way to present this to Isolde without arousing suspicion."
Charlotte's eyes widen in surprise as she's sent spinning by Zephyr's quick move, but she recovers swiftly, her laughter ringing out amidst the applause. As the dance concludes, she saunters over to Zephyr and Lila, a playful grin on her face. "Well played, my friends. You're quite the dancers, and thieves." She winks at them, her voice barely above a whisper. "But remember, Isolde has many eyes and ears in her carnival. You'll need to be careful when you present the amulet to her."
Zephyr nods, her expression serious, but her eyes sparkling with a hint of mischief. "We understand the risks, Charlotte." She looks at Lila, a silent question in her gaze. "We'll need to tread carefully, using our bond and quick wit to navigate any potential challenges." She turns to Charlotte, her voice filled with gratitude. "Thank you for the performance, Charlotte. Your skill and cooperation have helped us pass Isolde's test in a most unforgettable way."
Lila smiles, her emerald eyes shining with pride and affection for her partner. "And for the distraction that allowed me to retrieve the amulet, Zephyr." She turns to Charlotte, her voice sincere.
Your generosity and support mean the world to us, Charlotte. We couldn't have succeeded without your help tonight. She leans in closer, a conspiratorial whisper in her friend's ear. But this is just the beginning. Now, let's make sure our victory is rewarded with the Carnival's true aid in our fight against the darkness.
Zara's expression remains enigmatic as she takes a final bow, her eyes glinting with an unknown emotion beneath the veil of her performance. As the crowd disperses, she slips away, disappearing into the shadows with a whispered, "Until next time, my dancers." Leaving the two women to ponder their next move.
Isolde stands at the edge of the stage, her eyes narrowing as she watches Zephyr and Lila make their way through the crowd, the amulet clearly hidden among Zephyr's robes. She sips her drink, her expression unreadable, but a faint smile plays on her lips. "Well, well, it seems my little test wasn't so trivial after all." She turns to Tyndall, who's waiting beside her. "Ah, it's time we had a private conversation with these two. Show them to my tent, Tyndall." "Fine."
Tyndall gives a quick bow and takes the women to Isolde's tent.
Once inside, Isolde closes the flap behind them, a knowing glint in her eye as she turns to Zephyr and Lila. "I must say, you two have proven yourselves quite resourceful. Sneaking past my guards and retrieving the amulet without alerting the rest of the carnival was impressive." She sets her goblet down, leaning back in her seat. "But let's cut to the chase, shall we? What do you expect in return for completing my little test? And more importantly, why should I grant you the carnival's aid in your quest against Amalthos?"
Lila takes a deep breath, her emerald eyes meeting Isolde's with a fierce determination. "Isolde, we're not here to beg for handouts or promise grand rewards." She turns to Zephyr, a silent acknowledgement of their shared purpose. "Zephyr and I dedicated ourselves to the fight against darkness, and we believe our unity, combined with the unique skills we bring to the table, could be a powerful force for change." Her gaze returns to Isolde, a hint of respect and challenge in her voice.
"Unity, you say?" Isolde raises an eyebrow, her gaze piercing through the druidess's conviction. "And what makes you think your little pair can accomplish what others before you have failed to do? Amalthos is a powerful foe, and Dragonfire Vale is in ruin. It won't be a simple matter of waving a holy symbol and proclaiming victory." She leans forward, her voice taking on a conspiratorial tone. "Tell me, have you considered the true cost of your crusade? The sacrifices you might be asked to make?"
Raven, now in the tent with Isolde, speaks up. "You speak of costs and sacrifices, Isolde, but what of the price paid already by those who remain in Dragonfire Vale? Valerissa, my sister, and all those who toil against Amalthos's influence, risking their lives daily for a cause that may seem lost to the world." His voice carries a note of anguish, his eyes clouding with worry for his kin. "We cannot stand idly by while the realm crumbles. We must act, no matter the cost, to preserve what remains."
Isolde's eyes flash with amusement at Raven's passion, a small, knowing smile playing on her lips. "Ah, the noble warrior's dilemma. Always eager to charge into the fray, but rarely considering the broader landscape." She leans back in her chair, steepling her fingers. "You're right, of course. The stakes are high, and the outcome far from certain. But sometimes it's the risk of failure that leads to the most profound successes. Tell me, Raven, have you thought through the potential consequences of your actions?"
"Consequences?" Raven's jaw sets, a mix of frustration and resolve etched on his face. "I am a dragonborn, Isolde. I know the cost of war, and yet I cannot sit idly by while my homeland suffers. If the price of reclaiming Dragonfire Vale means I must make sacrifices, so be it. I will bear them, and see my people freed from Amalthos's tyranny." His gaze hardens, a steely determination settling over him. "I am prepared to face whatever challenges lie ahead, knowing that inaction is a luxury we cannot afford."
"I admire your courage, Raven, truly," Isolde says, her tone measured. "But courage without wisdom is a dangerous thing. Remember, I've watched many heroes rise and fall, each convinced they could change the world's course with their valor. And yet, they often found themselves swallowed by the very darkness they sought to vanquish." She pauses, her gaze drifting to the amulet Zephyr still carries. You may have succeeded in my little test tonight, but the true test of your mettle lies ahead.
What is Isolde's decision about the carnival?
Isolde takes a slow sip from her goblet, her gaze lingering on the amulet in Zephyr's possession. I suppose you've earned your reward, Zephyr. Keep the amulet as a symbol of your victory, but remember, its true power lies not in its physical form, but in the shadows that gave it life. She sets her drink down, a hint of sadness in her eyes as she addresses the group. As for the carnival's aid, I'm afraid that's a bridge too far.
Raven, his resolve unwavering, nods in understanding. I accept your decision, Isolde, knowing that the carnival's true purpose lies in its enigmatic wanderings, not in becoming an instrument of war. He turns to Zephyr and Lila, his voice filled with conviction. I will stand with you, my friends, and together we will face whatever challenges lie ahead. With Lila's wild magic, Zephyr's martial prowess, and my knowledge of Dragonfire Vale, we may yet find a path to victory.
Isolde nods, her expression softening slightly at Raven's words. I have no doubt you three will make a formidable team, and I wish you all the luck in the world. She glances out the tent flap, a faraway look in her eyes. When the time comes, I'll personally ensure your safe passage back to Dragonfire Vale, though I cannot promise more. She stands, gesturing toward the exit. Now, it's time for me to return to my caravan. The mist calls, and I have other matters to attend to.
Zephyr rises, a mix of gratitude and respect in her voice. Isolde, we are deeply grateful for your aid thus far, and for the opportunity to prove ourselves worthy of the carnival's blessing. Your guidance and wisdom have been invaluable, and we shall carry the spirit of the wild with us as we face the darkness ahead. She bows, her hand on the amulet, a silent promise to wield its power judiciously. May the winds of fortune carry you safely to your next destination.
Lila follows suit, her emerald eyes shining with appreciation. Your support, Isolde, has given us hope and strength in the face of daunting odds. We will strive to make you proud and to honor the trust you've placed in us. She offers a gentle smile. When the time comes, we'll be ready to embark on the final leg of our journey, knowing that the carnival's blessing will stay with us, guiding our steps. May the cycles of life continue to turn in your favor. Farewell, Isolde.
End of session.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the adventure. Stay tuned for more episodes. You can watch us play on twitch.tv at the Guildhall Podcast channel. If you want to join a game or just say hi, stop by our Discord. Details are at the-guildhall.net. The music in this episode was created by Philip E. Ray and used under Creative Commons. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.